He did pretty well with me teasing him here, didn't he? Well, now, where can I go, Jack? Where can I go to buy Foreman Ford paint and glass? Where in the world, Jack? Tell me, boy.
Well, there are over 800 lumber dealers and hardware stores in 5 states handling Foreman Ford lines, Dad. And they're highly recommended by leading architects and contractors. So whether you're doing a little redecorating yourself or in charge of a big building project, the finest paint and glass products are conveniently available to you or to your builder from Foreman Ford, one of the leading business firms in the paint and glass field for over 70 years.
Go out and get your check and hit the showers. Thank you, Jack. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to a very famous theme song. It is the musical signature of a young lady who left Minneapolis to join us Californians on the West Coast, where she is building a big following. She's come back to Minneapolis to join with you at Aquatennial time, and here she is at the organ, Ramona Gerhart.
This second half hour of the WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show has been brought to you with the good wishes of Foreman Ford and Company and its more than 800 lumber dealers and hardware stores in 5 states. Our program will continue in just a few seconds over WCCO, St. Paul, and Minneapolis. Yes, the 1954 WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show continues now with part three of our salute to the Minneapolis Aquatennial. And this portion of tonight's gigantic show is brought to you through the courtesy of a Wisconsin neighbor, Doughboy Industries of New Richmond, master craftsman in the development and production of plastics, packaging machinery, and farm feeds. And now here is your master of ceremonies for part three of our show, the happy-go-lucky guy from Milwaukee, Jack Carson.
Thank you. It's nice to be back again. It's nice to be on this Aquatennial show. It's a great thrill, really, to be in this tremendous auditorium. I had no idea how big it was. For anybody listening who doesn't know the size of this auditorium, to give you an idea of it, just now, coming from my dressing room to the stage here, I passed 5 Burma Shave signs. Of course, I've got one of the dressing rooms that are far away. But it's great to be here. We flew in this morning by Western Airlines, got in about 7 o'clock. They said we'd have all day to rest. I haven't rested yet. But with the Aquatennial here, they also have the Aqua Follies. So I went over this afternoon to get a rest. They were having a rehearsal. And I got my rest sitting around the swimming pool looking at the lovely girls in their French bathing suits. My body got a rest, but my mind was exhausted. You all know what French bathing suits are. That's 2 handkerchiefs singing Enjoy Yourself, It's Later Than You Think. But flying in here, we had a stewardess on the plane. It was a beautiful girl. You all know what a stewardess is. That's a girl who comes around and asks you what you want. When she asked me what I wanted, I said, don't forget my safety belt, and she didn't. Every time she didn't feel safe, she bellowed me. But I was talking about standing around looking at the lovely girls. That's the story of my life. Standing around looking at lovely girls. That's all I ever get a chance to do. I don't know, I've always been a slow worker. By the time I get around to popping the question, Artie Shaw's enjoying the answer. It's the same thing in my work. I've been in the picture business for a long time. I never get the girl. Some other guy always gets the girl. Even if he's not in the same picture. Which is a little hard to understand. I'm just like any other man. I drink, I lie, I cheat, I smoke, I gamble, I stay out all night. What else can any woman want? And speaking of standing around looking at lovely girls, we have a beautiful girl now with a beautiful voice. I saw this little girl this afternoon. She's beautiful to look at. What girl isn't? She's beautiful to listen to, so let's all listen to Joan Eyton. Here she is, Joan.
You care. it's all around you.
Here in the Northwest, a major share of our wealth has its source on our well-run farms with their high-yielding fields, their productive livestock and poultry. Today, thousands of farmers in this area, dairymen, poultrymen, and meat raisers, are operating more efficiently than ever with the help of Doughboy Farm Feeds. These fine Doughboy feeds are manufactured in America's most modern feed mill, located in the heart of our rich farmlands at New Richmond, Wisconsin. Here, skilled experts carefully blend the quality ingredients that go into the many different Doughboy feeds. And here, too, trained technicians and experienced nutritionists develop Doughboy's prize-winning formulas. In addition, Doughboy maintains a sizable staff of qualified field representatives to help solve individual feeding problems for all Doughboy feed users. If you're not yet established on a Doughboy feeding program on your farm, visit your local Doughboy feed dealer soon. He'll show you how Doughboy Farm Feeds can bring in far greater profits over your feed costs. Switch to Doughboy now.
Thank you very much. I don't think we had enough of Joan Iden before. I don't think you did either, did you? Let's bring her back, shall we? Joan, you sang that song wonderfully.
Thank you.
And I just heard you at rehearsal this afternoon, and I know you weren't singing out full, but it was just great. And they gave me the privilege, as long as I was a guest here tonight, of requesting a song from you if I wanted to, and I do want to.
All right.
And I have a song that's a favorite of mine, but I don't think I'm at all unique in this, because it's a favorite of a lot of people, because it happens to be, I think, number one on the hit parade.
Oh, I bet I know what it is.
What is it?
Little Things Mean a Lot.
Little Things Mean a Lot. Do you know that one?
Well,
would you like to hear that song, folks? I think so.
Wally, could we do it in TFC?
We didn't rehearse this, but you know it, huh? Okay,
so.
John. Thanks.
Blow me a kiss from across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot. Give me your hand when we cross the street. Call me at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away. Little things mean a lot. Don't have to buy me diamonds and pearls, champagne, tables and such. I never cared much for diamonds and pearls, and honestly, honey, they just cost money. Give me on when I've lost my way. Give me a shoulder to cry on. Whether the day a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot. For now and forever, that's always and ever. Little things mean a lot.
Boy, there's a real delightful voice. And a wonderful song. And sung by the right girl, the right type of girl. Joan is, I can tell, is that kind of a girl. Of course, not all girls are the same. I've met a few of the other kind. They wouldn't sing the song the same way. I think they might change the lyrics. Fellas, this is the way I think the song should have been written. Wally? Throw her a Cadillac across the room. Don't let her Jaguar go to pot. Hand her some money when you call her honey. Little things mean a lot. Buy her some jewelry across the street. Send her her check on the dot. $100 a day when you're far away. Little things mean a lot. You always should buy her diamonds and pearls, airlines, railroads, and minks. She'll always be crazy about diamonds and pearls, 'cause believe me, Sonny, they do cost money. Give her more dough when she's lost a bet. Give her your wallet to cry on. She's only with you for all she can get. Who wants your heart to rely on when you have parted and she's gone her way? Pay her and like it or not, you'll be no relation. You're just a pay station. Little things mean a lot. Give her bank books, she'll give you warm looks. Give her a mink coat to try on. How warm the looks, how big the books. She wants a bank to rely on. It couldn't last, it's a thing of the past. Now she's got you right on a spot. She hates to holler, but she wants every dollar. Little things mean a lot. Thank you very much. Of course, I don't mean that. No, really, I don't. In comedy, sometimes we have to make fun of things that we really believe in, and I have a very good reason for not meaning a song like that. And she's sitting in the audience. My wife, Lola Albright Carson. Where is she? Put the spot on her down there someplace. She's over there. Where are you? Over here? Right down here. Let's give her a nice hand, shall we? I was just kidding, honey. We have a fella now. I've clowned around with singing enough. But we've got a guy that's really going to sing for you. You've heard him on the Alka-Seltzer program for years. He and Martha Tilton do a wonderful, wonderful job. He's long been a favorite of mine. I know a favorite of yours. Let's all meet and enjoy Kurt Massey, shall we? Come on, Kurt.
Put on a bonnet, a sunbun bonnet, and put a bluebird on it. Put on that bonnet, and in a while you'll be all dressed up to smile. Put on some shoesies, some dancing shoesies, to chase the blueses and spread good newses. Put on those shoesies, and in a while you'll be all dressed up to smile. Some silver lining from a cloud that's in distress will make the nicest kind of happiness. Old Lady Fashion, you'll never trail her. Just let a sunbeam become your tailor. You'll lead the fashions always in style, 'cause you're all dressed up to smile. Because you're all dressed up to smile. Needless to say, it's a wonderful feeling to be here in Twin Cities. You've been so wonderful since we've been here. And I can't say anything but thank you for being so very nice. I'd like to sing a ballad for you at this time. It's a favorite of mine. I hope you enjoy it. If I had my way. You will, please, Wally.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around, finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, even be glad just to be sad, thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be me, might never be cross, try to be boss, they wouldn't do. For nobody else gave me a thrill, with all your faults I loved you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you. With all of your faults, I love you still. With all your faults, I always will. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you. No one else could do. You thrill me. And it had to be you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to introduce you to Charlie. This is my fiddle. My dad gave me this fiddle when I was a little boy, about 7 years of age, and Dad was an old-time fiddler. He played the old-times jigs and reels and hornpipes, and he gave me this fiddle and started me off when I was 7 years of age playing like this. And after Dad had taught me to play the old-time jigs and reels and hornpipes, he said, Kurt, if you'd like to learn to play classical music or popular music, you'll have to go away and study in school. So I took the violin and went away to school, and they had me practicing every day on this. It's kind of short, I know, but I didn't stay in school very long. Not that one. I studied in other schools, and I went from one place to the other studying, and I
like to try to play one number for you now that might be classed the results of all my years of study. If you'll bear with me just a moment while I tune, please. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to give you my impression this time of some of our foremost trumpet players, starting out with Mr. Henry Bussey playing When Day Is Done. Follow that with Mr. Red Nichols' theme song, The Wail of the Four Winds. Introduction, I'm quite sure you've heard it many times. This is Clyde McCoy and the Sugar Blues. This up to Mr. Harry James and George Berry Bean.
ladies and gentlemen.
You've been a wonderful audience. I'd love to stay and sing and play. You have a lot of wonderful show following. And so I'd like to bring on the next gentleman who's going to carry on. Is that you, Jack? Okay, on the other side. Here he is. Thank you very much.
I have a question. What better time than Aquatennial to get in the swim with a Doughboy pool in your own backyard? Here's the simple, safe, economical way to keep the family cool all summer long. These tough, long-lasting Doughboy pools are easy to inflate, easy to fill using only your garden hose, easy to keep filled with fresh, clean, cooling water. With a colorful Doughboy pool, you have no installation costs, no bothersome maintenance problems. And you've got 10 different sizes to choose from. The right size for your family, the right size for your purse. Yes, Doughboy pools for the toddlers are priced from only $3. Bigger family pools holding from 630 to 5,500 gallons of water are priced from just $50. So why swelter through these summer days? Get your Doughboy pool now. Enjoy a cooler summer in your own backyard. You'll find Doughboy pools on sale at leading department, hardware, and drugstores in your neighborhood. Get in the swim with Doughboy. Now, once again, here is Jack Carson.
Thank you. You know, out of every war, some literature has come. Out of the most recent, here's one that's come. I have no idea who the author is. This was told to me by a friend of mine who told it to me just as he remembered it. And I wrote it down. I thought it had more than a slight chance at some measure of immortality. And I'd like to read it to you. It's called Soldier on a Train. The piece begins with a soldier speaking to the man sitting next to him. The soldier speaks. Cigarette, Mac? Don't mention it. Thanks, I got a match. What? Yeah, I just got back. 4.5 years. What a country to get back to. Brother, what a country. Well, I can make love to its mud puddles, not to mention its rocks and rills. By the first peek at that Statue of Liberty coming into the harbor, what a sweetheart. What a gal. The first look at that home front skyline, the stores, the shops, and windows. Windows with American clothes in them. Yeah, and the names of cigars and, I don't know, like, say, the names of people you'd heard before and... What's that, Mac? Oh, sure, I've seen them before, but now they seem to be painted in Technicolor. No kidding, pal. Even a no-smoking sign in English sounds like it was written by Shakespeare. And the words hamburgers and onions and a lunch wagon sign... The world's greatest poetry. Broadway and 42nd Street, Hollywood and Vine, Front and Main. Brother, I'll take them all over the Rue de la... whatever you call it, the Champs-Élysées. You know, all that really counts, Mac, is being back in a country where you can read full accounts of ball games and prize fights and who married who and where nobody wrecks houses except that maybe they could be honest house wreckers. Where you can grab hold of any doorknob or turn on a light or turn it off without thinking maybe it could be a booby trap. Hey, Mac. Hey, look out the train window there. Get a load of that fat dame with the baggy slacks setting out them tomato plants in that little stinking 2x4 backyard. What a doll, eh, Mac? Huh? Yeah, doll. Doll to me. The Queen of Sheba and the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Hey, take a gander at that cab driver beating his gums arguing with that laundry truck driver. Music. Beautiful music to my ears. And the screech of brakes on every car backfire. A lovely symphony. America. America of thee I sing. You know, Mac, you know, so I used to think that was corny. What a jerk I was. America of thee I do sing. Thy woods and temple hills, yeah, even all fouled up with billboards and tourist camps and liver pill signs, it's still the greatest scenery in the whole world. Why, the garbage truck becomes Cinderella's coach in four and one up with mustard? That's a lot more thrilling to me than Lafayette, we are here. You can have the Atlantic and the Pacific and the Mediterranean. I'll even throw in the English Channel. And I wouldn't swap them all for the water running off my sun porch after a June rain. Mac, I just been to places where the people would give their right arms to live where they could have a picket fence around them and not barbed wire. Some of them didn't even have a chance to do that. How does the rest of it go? Land where our fathers died? I hope you don't think I'm flipping my lid talking like this, Mac. You see, I made it, but a lot of my buddies didn't, so I guess their kids' fathers won't die here. But it's really the same idea, because we all wanted the same thing. Yeah, sure, to get back. What's the matter? You think we were crazy? But something more. Remember the rest of the song? From every mountainside, let freedom ring. You know something? I think we're going to make it. By God, we'd better. We just called Somerville. This is where I get off. So long, Max. See you again. Keep your nose clean. Thank you. We had out before one of the finest singers in our business today, but I think we should bring it back again. Helen O'Connell. Let's bring it back, shall we, Helen? Hiya, pea picker.
Hi!
You've heard Helen on a Tennessee Ernie show. You know, we got the biggest pea pickers in the world right around here.
How do you figure that?
Well, we got the Green Giant over at Le Sueur, Minnesota, you know. Helen, you know the reason I wanted to bring you back here? They let me make a lot of requests tonight. But I remember those great songs that you did with Jimmy Dorsey.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm sure you remember them too, huh?
I hope so. They're songs that I love to sing, Jack.
Well, why don't you sing it right now? Because
love
we all love them.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
All of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you? Take my arms, I'll never use them. Take my lips, I want to lose them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. How can I go on here without you? You took the part that once was my heart. So why not take all of me? Soft lines and eyes that promise to be kind bring to my soul a longing, a thirst for love divine. In dreams I seem to hold you, to find you and enfold you. Our lips meet and our hearts too, with a thrill so sublime. Those cool and limpid green eyes, a pool where in my love lies. So deep that in my searching for happiness I fear that they will ever haunt me. Want me? Green eyes, I love you. Tangerine, she is all I say. With mascara eye and chapeau by Nechet. Tangerine, with her lips aflame. If the color keeps Louis Philippe's to blame. And I've seen clothes on Tangerine. label says from Macy's Mezzanine. Yes, she's got the guys in a whirl, but she's only fooling one girl. She's only fooling Tangerine.
You have been listening to part three of the WCCO Radio Octennial Show, coming to you from the stage of the Minneapolis Auditorium. This portion of the show has been presented by Doughboy Industries, manufacturers of the finest farm feeds and the largest line of plastic inflatable pools and beach toys. This is Gordon Eaton saying, look for that name, Doughboy, when you buy. It means quality. In just a few moments, you'll hear the grand finale of this evening's show over WCCO Minneapolis and St. Paul. The 1954 WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show continues from the stage of the Minneapolis Auditorium, featuring the finale of tonight's two-hour radio show. This last portion of the program is presented for the third straight year by Sheik's Cafe, one of the nation's outstanding eating places, 45 South 3rd Street near Nicollet in Minneapolis. For delicious food and wonderful entertainment, the place to go is Sheik's, famous for 67 years. And here to begin the show for Sheik's is Cedric Adams.
Yes, a lot of things are going to happen in this last 30 minutes. Art Linkletter has already given me the works, and you know where. And I'm very delighted now to report that in this part of the show, Bob DeHaven is going to get his. But good. And just for a little change, we're going to spring a little surprise on Art Linkletter. And last, but certainly not least, our whole cast is going to join in a big finale. Another of the high spots of this final portion will be the Minneapolis Choral Air singing Tenderly, which they do right now. Robert? Minneapolis Aquatennial is unique, as you know. And Sheik's Cafe at 45 South 3rd near Nicollet in Minneapolis is equally unique. There's sparkling entertainment by Sheik's Singing Sextet, delicious food, delightful beverages, and wonderful service. You meet friends in the Viennese Cocktail Lounge. You use the private dining rooms for club or family affairs, whatever they are. You enjoy food prepared by John Kuchen, the renowned chef, and served under the eagle eye of George Ramsay, the nationally famous manager. And all of this, mind you, with no cover, no minimum. Sheik's deserves its fame as one of the nation's outstanding eating places, and you deserve the pleasure of an evening at Sheik's. Sheik's Cafe, 45 South 3rd, near Nicollet in Minneapolis. Established way back in 1887. Famous for 67 years. Here's another man in that same category, Mr. Art Linkletter. Arthur?
Thank you, Cedric. Thank you. You know, this is such a nice family party. To give you an idea of what a nice feeling there is backstage, the Corraliers and Bob Mansky presented me this afternoon during the rehearsal with a nice birthday present of a matching pen and pencil set that they took up a collection for. Wasn't that sweet of them to do that unsolicited? Thank you. Thank you. And the men in the orchestra, they all got together and gave me a G flat. Thank you. Right now, it is my pleasant duty to report that Mr. Ed Flannery, picked out of the audience to go outside tonight to test the courtesy under inhuman conditions of some poor service station operator, has returned with his story. Come on in, Ed Flannery, and let's find out exactly what happened to you. Ed, what did you tell me you did in the way of business?
I told you that I was a salesman for Charles Pfizer Company in the Animal Health Division.
And you're a family man?
Yes, sir.
How much?
Well, six right now. Six children right now, that is.
Right now?
Yes, sir. Well, next month there'll be another.
Well, congratulations. Seven children. Well, now, Mr. Flannery, we've sent you out in a dilapidated 1927 Chevrolet to get every kind of service that we could think of after buying a dime's worth of gas. What happened at the first service station?
Well, I almost didn't get there. That automobile you sent me out in had no brakes. Well, I got up to the corner here at the stop sign. There were some cars coming. Of course, I tried to stop anyhow, but it wouldn't stop. And my
well, that
God,
was an extra stunt.
Well, thank you.
What happened in the first place?
Well, the first fellow was courteous enough, but he lost patience in a hurry. That is, I had him put in the gas, and I asked him to check the oil and then check the tires. And he said, well, I've got other work to do. You can check the tires yourself if you like. So, I mean, that was the end of that.
So
I
you left.
I paid him off and left.
Yeah. You didn't ask him to look for the dime or anything because, naturally, he hadn't accomplished the eight services at least.
That's right.
So now the second place.
Well, the second place, I asked him to put in the gas. He did. Of course, I told him just a dime's worth. But he was so mad when he put the cap back on the tank that he broke the cap somehow.
From serving the dime's worth of gas, he jammed it back in.
That's right.
Now, in the meantime, there were cars behind honking?
Well, yes, there were a few other cars in there and making a little racket, but it hadn't quite reached the tumult that it finally did.
So then?
Well, I asked him to check the oil, and he did that, and then I said, I wonder where the battery is in this car, because in those old cars, you have to look for the battery, you know, it's underneath someplace.
Yeah.
But he said, I'll be darned if I know, and apparently he wasn't going to look for it. So then I said, you know, these tires seem awfully hard. As I came in the station, went over the bump, it, you know, gave me a jolt. Could you check them and see if there's too much air in there? And he said, come on, give me the money. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he wouldn't do anything else. So then what, did you ask him to look for it?
Well, no, because, I mean, he was through as far as I was concerned. So I reached in the back seat, and I picked up this pair of trousers, and I pulled the purse out expecting to find the dime there to pay him. And I opened it up, and there was a $100 bill.
What did he do with this?
Well, I almost fell on my face when I saw the $100 bill, you know. I thought, I've told this guy I'm broke when I first come in, you see.
Did you have any trouble getting the pants out from under all the stuff?
Well, no, that wasn't too difficult. I got that all right. But when I, you know, I felt pretty sheepish, I said, here, can you break this, please? And I'd already told him I was broke.
What'd he do then?
Well, he walked away with it, and as he got a little ways away, he turned around and he said, I'd like to break it over your blankety-blankety head.
So he gave it back, and one of our men paid the dime, didn't he?
That's right.
And you went on to a third station.
Yes, I went on to a third station, and there, of course, I said, I'm just going a few blocks. Could you give me a dime's worth of gas, please? And he did. He put in the dime's worth of gas, but then he couldn't get the cap back on because the fellow before him had broken it, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
So I said, that's funny. It always went on before. So he tried a few more times, and then he went inside, and he got a pliers and a screwdriver, and he worked on it, and he couldn't get it back on. He kept working on it and put it in a vise, and finally got the... I said, I think these prongs are bent here. So he loosened up the prongs, and he finally got it on. And he stood there waiting for the dime, and I said, would you mind checking the oil, too? So he checked the oil. There was plenty of oil in the car, so then I gave him the rigmarole about the tire seeming a bit hard, and he kept his head down a bit so that I couldn't read his expression too well. But at any rate, he went about it, and then the... oh, yes, no, he said, well, you'll have to take the car over here where the air is. So I drove it all around and backed it up in there, and... he proceeded to check each tire individually and very good-naturedly said they're all fine.
Did he go ahead and do other eight services?
And then I said, well, it's funny, there's water leaking out here. Did you check the water? And he said, no, I didn't put any water in. Well, I said, it's funny, there's water leaking out. And he said, well, it must be that there's something wrong with your pump. So I said, well, maybe so. And I said, gee, you know, no wonder I can't see very well with these headlights. Of course, they're no good to begin with, but I said... all this dirt on these, all the dirt on the lights. Do you suppose you could clean that off for me?
And he washed the headlights.
So he washed off the headlights. And then when he got...
Oh, boy.
When I get through with that, I said, golly, you know, I was looking around trying to find more things for him to do. So I said, gee, the floor of this car is dirty. Do you happen to have a broom around? And so he went and got a broom and was sweeping it out, and he got it swept off. And I said, would you mind getting the seats too, particularly that one, because I have to pick up my girlfriend in a minute. She doesn't want to sit in a dirty car.
This guy is worse than I am. Well, now you guys finally did all the eight services.
Did you bring him back? Yes, indeed.
Let's bring this long-suffering man back out here. Well, what is your name?
Gilbert File.
Mr. File, what service station do you work with or for?
Direct service, 29th Nicollet.
Is it your own service
station?
No, it
isn't.
You work for them?
Yes, sir.
Had you ever had an experience like tonight before?
No, sir.
This guy was really demanding, wasn't he?
The 10 cents he certainly was.
Well, now, I think that you passed, sir, one of the most strict courtesy and efficiency and helpful, cheerful, warm services we've ever called upon anybody to go through. I want to congratulate you. You a Minneapolis man?
Yes, sir.
Where's the name of this service station?
2900 Nicollet, direct service.
That's the place to go, folks, for courteous service, believe me. Yes. Did you at any time almost lose your temper?
No sense to it.
No what?
No use getting mad.
Who is the lucky woman who got you?
Oh, pretty nice woman.
Pretty nice. She never gets mad at you.
Oh, yes.
What's your name again?
Gilbert File.
Mr. File? I want you to take home, in addition to the big plug we gave your service station, a beautiful Zenith clock radio for your family, and our thanks for coming back. There it is. It's a lovely radio. And Mr. Flannery, for putting the screws on this man, the father of six going on seven, you need help in the way of a beautiful, wonderful Amana freezer with the amazing Stormore door made in the century-old Amana colonies in Iowa. Congratulations and thank you.
Well, thanks very much to you, Art. The kids will have a place for the popsicles.
Fine. Goodbye, sir. Let's have the housewife out, please. Mr. Atkins, our next guest, Here is a lady who said that she is a Bob DeHaven fan. Hello. Gosh, I thought for a minute the Russians had landed. Here's an all red dress. You would stop the parade this morning. What's your name?
Nellie Cole.
Nellie Cole. What does your husband do?
Works for Honeywell.
Honeywell. Uh-huh. And you have any little Coles?
Yes, one.
Uh-huh. Irv, could I have the material, please? You are a fan of Bob DeHaven's. You like his funny material and his jokes.
Sure.
He's a merry fellow, isn't he?
Very best.
Have you ever been in show business?
Oh, quite a while.
Would you like to try to get into the joke department? There's a lot of money to be made as a comic. And I happen to have a nice audience here and a big network and a big station. Let's see if you're a natural comic. Would you read some of these jokes for us and see if you can get a laugh here? These are tried and true jokes. You read that and then I answer and then you read it, all right?
Why does a chicken cross the road?
Why?
To get to the other side.
Well, it didn't get very much. Didn't get very much, but maybe you'll do better with a little more confidence. Try this. This is a surefire joke.
Why does a fireman wear red suspenders?
Why does a fireman wear red suspenders?
To hold up his pants.
To hold up his pants. Well, that didn't get much. Gee, we'll try one more. It's a technique, you see. I guess that's what it is. It isn't easy. Now, try this one.
No, it isn't.
Who was that gentleman I saw you with last night?
That was no gentleman. That was my husband.
Well, it isn't getting much. I tell you what it is. You have not had experience on the stage in telling jokes. I can see that. Irv, this is Mr. Atkins from Hollywood. He will go back and teach you timing, punch, delivery. Now go back and study and come out here, and then we'll have you read those jokes. Boy, is she going to be a success when she gets back. And while we're waiting, Cedric Adams, who has all of the news of the day. Cedric, what is the latest news around Minneapolis?
Arthur, I've just got a fresh bulletin here. I talked to the people over at Pillsbury today.
Oh?
That's a name you love, isn't it?
Oh, I adore that name, Pillsbury.
Well, I'll tell you. They told me that the girls over there in the Ann Pillsbury kitchen have been busy all day constructing the hugest birthday cake in the history of Pillsbury flour mills.
Well, who is the lucky fellow, said he, blushing modestly?
Yes. You, Arthur, my boy, you know that today you have arrived at 42 years of age.
That is right.
And here is a little thing from Ann Pillsbury.
Oh, look at that cake. It's a beautiful cake. Right over here. Thank you, Cedric. Look at this cake. It's at least 10 feet high. They have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 layer cake, and up on top, there's a big round disc of beautiful frosting with 9,327,000 calories. It says Art Linkletter from Ann Pillsbury, and the whole cake is on a blue crumpled tinfoil that looks like a lake with little boats going all around it. And on each side of it are queens. There's the queen from Puerto Rico, and you're the queen from?
Canada.
The Canadian queen. Mm. Well, I've got nothing against Puerto Rico. She's a Dodger. And where are you from?
Chicago, Illinois.
How do you do? Chicago. She brought me out some beautiful flowers, a great big bouquet of lovely flowers from the Amana Refrigeration Company, the Forster Distribution Company in Minneapolis, and the Northwestern Amana dealers, who are my summer sponsors, and people are funny. So you see, when you have nice sponsors, they do nice things for you. Ladies, I'll eat the cake personally backstage, and I'll join all of you but Miss Puerto Rico back there in a minute. Have a nice trip home, senorita. I guess she figures she doesn't want to kiss an old man. She heard my age. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, our lady has had a time to study her jokes. But you know and I know that it's not so easy to get up in front of 10,000 people and on a big station and tell jokes for the first time. And since she said that Bob DeHaven was the best, we think that Bob DeHaven ought to be willing to help her be a success tonight. So where are you, Mr. Bob DeHaven? Here he is, an able, willing, and unhappy volunteer.
Bob? Good evening, sir.
You know that I picked a real ardent fan of yours out of the audience.
Well, I was watching her from off stage. She's an ardent fan. She's a nice-looking girl. She works at Honeywell, eh?
Yes, and she says that you're the best. Now, yes, naturally, right. Naturally, you want to back her up and help her.
What'd you say?
You want to help her.
I do.
Yes, you do. You don't say that with much assurance, but I'm sure that you will.
I do, period.
All right. Bob, you just follow directions. Go back and sit on that chair right there. And, Mr. Atkins, take his coat off, would you please? Nothing much will happen to him, but we don't want anything to happen to his coat. Now, if you will kindly put that slicker around Mr. DeHaven from the front and cover him completely. I am going to demonstrate something, ladies and gentlemen, that's just as old as time. People are funny. They will always laugh when they see a man get hit with a pie. I can tell you about it in advance. There will be no surprise. You know what's going to happen, but it never fails. You cannot refrain from laughing when you see somebody hit with a pie, and I'll prove it. In just a moment, now that we have him hidden behind a screen, we'll bring our lady out from the dressing room, and you can on your own, because watch what happens. The door is opening. The lady has been practicing. She is coming out. How do you do? I'll come to meet you. Have you been practicing the joke?
Certainly.
Well, now come right up here and face the audience, because this is an important milestone in your career. Mrs. Cole, now you have practiced.
Oh,
let's start these same jokes and see whether or not the audience improves. All right, let's hear the first joke now.
Why does the chicken cross the road?
Why does a chicken cross the road?
To get to the other side.
To get to the other side. Mm-hmm. Now let's have the next joke.
Why does the fireman wear...
I can't hear you, honey.
Why does the fireman wear red suspenders?
Why does he?
To hold up his pants.
See, you're reading better. You're reading a lot better. Things are going better this time, aren't they? I told you. Yeah. You see, it's just practice that does it. Now let's try the next one. I tell you, you have learned show business in one quick, easy lesson. Who was that gentleman I saw you with last night?
That was no gentleman. That was my husband.
Nellie Cole, Bob DeHaven has repaid you a hundredfold over. Oh, get away from me! Nellie Colbeck, my, that's good pie. I got some myself. Nellie, come on back here. You have a husband, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, we have, mind if I might wipe the microphone off. We have for you a paid vacation for two at the Lost Lake Lodge in Brainerd, Minnesota. and you have exceptional fishing, summer sports, fine foods, rest, relaxation. You will have a radio on which you cannot hear Bob DeHaven. And for Bob DeHaven, we have a permanent season pass to Cedric Adams' noontime broadcast. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad now that I got mine where I did. You know, following that bit with a commercial is like following the elephant. But I've got to say a word here for a sponsor. The Aquatennial fame spreads from coast to coast, and that of another unique Minneapolis institution, Sheik's Cafe, is equally widespread. This famous restaurant, one of the nation's outstanding eating places, combines delicious beverages, wonderful food, and very delightful entertainment. They put that all into a very treasured experience. Sheik's singing sextet is known the country over. Sheik's delicious dinners, prepared by John Kuchin, the internationally known chef, and served so beautifully under the watchful eye of Sheik's genial manager, George Ramsey, are equally famous. Private dining rooms for special gatherings, the modern Viennese lounge for before-dinner conviviality, are just a few of the reasons why those who know patronize Sheik's on 3rd near Nicollet in Minneapolis, where there's never a minimum, never a cover. And now, to narrate our finale, here is Arthur Gordon Linkletter.
Thank you, Cedric Alfonso Adams.
You're a messy kid, really.
You know, in the short time that I've worked in Minnesota as a young man and visited here many times since, I've learned that this is a land of definite seasons. It's the theater of seasons, really. A land of colorful contrasts, where seasons are violent or rugged, enjoyable or disappointing, gloomy or thrilling. The setting for life in Minnesota is constantly changing. Now, we won't take sides as to which is the best time to live here. Who can say, for instance, that there is a more beautiful time than autumn in Minnesota? Nature at her best, splashing the countryside with reds and golds and browns. A last magnificent curtain call before winter, brought to us now in the voice of Kurt Massey.
December, but the days grow short when you reach September and the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame. One hasn't got the waiting day, but the days hurry by to a precious few. September, I'll spend with you these precious days. I'll spend with you
for the days with the
precious I'll spend with you these precious days. I'll spend with you the days I spend with you.
Suddenly, one morning, it's winter here in the land of 10,000 lakes, and around here it gets pretty wintry, too. But again, Minnesota folk have learned to live with the harsh seasons as well as the mild ones. Skating, skiing, winter carnivals, ice fishing, outdoor fun continues in a land in which even a reindeer would feel quite at home, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is brought to us by Jack Carson.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call it names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to stay. Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him, as he shouted out with glee. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history. That's all.
And there goes a snowstorm on Jack Carson. Bob DeHaven. Oh. Bob DeHaven just lowered a blizzard on Jack as he finished the song. Sometimes it's a long time till spring in Minnesota. Like this year, the season changed from winter to summer, skipping right over spring. But spring, when it happens, is a fine time in Minnesota. A greening up time, an open road time. You can't help liking Minnesota in the springtime, especially when the voice that pictures it belongs to Miss Helen O'Connell.
Spring is here. Why doesn't my heart go dancing? Spring is here. Why isn't the waltz entrancing? No desire, no ambition leave me. Maybe it's because nobody needs me. Spring is here. Why doesn't the breeze delight me? Stars appear. Why doesn't the night invite me? Maybe it's because nobody loves me. Spring is here, I hear. Spring is here. Why light me? Stars appear. Why doesn't the night invite me? Maybe it's because nobody loves me. Spring is here.
But, after all, Minnesota is most famous for its lakes. And every one of those 10,000 lakes is at its best during the summer season because summertime makes such a fairyland out of Minnesota. Tourists crowd into the state to fish and swim, to sail on those lakes and live in the pine forests, enjoying the gifts which nature has given so generously to Minnesota. It's a great time to be alive in Minnesota in the summertime. Summertime means a lot to the Northwest, but it means more to Minneapolis. For the spirit of summer is the spirit of this Aquatennial. And in this theater of seasons, Minneapolis is in the spotlight, along with Kirk Massey, Helen O'Connell, and Jack Carson in the good old summertime.
In the good old summertime. In the good old summertime,
strolling through the shady lanes with my baby by,
you'll hold your hand and you'll hold your hand, that's a very good sign.
That's what your touchy foxy the good old summertime.
Radio Aquatennial Show. The last half hour was brought to you by Sheik's Cafe, one of America's outstanding eating places. No cover, no minimum, just lots of good food, beverages, and entertainment at Sheik's Cafe, 45 South 3rd Street. The WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show was written and produced by Bob McKenzie, Ed Beeman, Jack Houston, and Val Linder. Stage effects and lighting were by Don Stoll. Music arrangements by Vince Bastian and Ernie Garvin. Wally Olson directed the orchestra. The entire production was under the direction of Bob McKenzie. This is Dean Montgomery concluding the 1954 WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show.